We're starting to get a bit more of a look at what the marijuana framework in Canada is going to actually be. And I know that there is a huge, huge sense of variety across the country, from Alberta, which will allow dispensaries, and BC, which will allow dispensaries. I think BC will allow like pretty much anyone to say. I think at BC, I could literally just go out in the morning and say, hey, I'd like to open up a pot shop. And there you go. And then Ontario, which is going to the LCBO model, where if you want to get marijuana, you'll have to either order it online or from a government retailer of it. And you can discuss, as we have on the show, the patchwork across the country of these different systems and whether this is the right or wrong way to go forward. Here's an interesting one, though, not an area that has gotten a great deal of discussion. The Government of Canada has just unveiled its consultation document. So not the definitive answer for what they'll be doing, but a consultation document on the regulations. And included in this is the set of guidelines surrounding branding. And remember, we've heard this discussed with cigarettes, whether we go towards, as Australia has, this completely neutral, no brand, no logo, anything like that. And for cannabis, the restrictions, according to the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center, will be misguided and will only serve to empower the black market. That gentleman is David Clement, who joins me on the line now. David, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So what are the proposed guidelines at this point when it comes to the actual packaging of the legal pot?
So they've basically, the way in which they've worded it is they're going to significantly limit the use of colors, logos, and branding, and to the best of their ability, implement things like uniform fonts. So without actually calling it plain packaging, they've mirrored the language from what we're seeing in terms of how they want to treat tobacco. And so for the most part, I think we can call this plain packaging, or some sort of heavy branding restriction or branding ban.
So you go in, you maybe see a little placard that has with no font, no colors, no logo, what it is, and you're supposed to make up your mind for that. But it's kind of silly in a way because you're already buying it. I mean, by the time you get to the store, you're already buying the stuff. You're already getting access to it. Why does it matter if there's branding on the package or not?
So, I mean, the government will say that that the goal is to curb use from minors, but we don't necessarily see evidence in terms of other products when they've gone down that route. I think the really important thing to notice here is that many consumers or new consumers are going to be really unaware about what is available to them, the difference between different strains of cannabis. So like most people won't realize that just like there are different types of beer, so ale, lager, stout, et cetera, there are also different forms of cannabis. And what branding and marketing allows for these companies to do is actually inform consumers. Yes, they're trying to make their product appealing to adults who are interested in that, but at the same time, they're sending very important information signals to consumers in terms of what the product is good with, what the product is good for, what type of consumers would like this versus that. And so it's really a disservice to consumers because it's eliminating something that can share so much information.
You've said that the restrictions will empower and embolden the black market. How is that?
Well, the more we limit branding, and we see this with tobacco, the more we limit branding, the easier it is for criminal actors to package up what they have to sell as legal goods, right? So the more, think of it almost like currency, right? If we had blanket currency, it would be easy to fake or to create counterfeit currency. And when we have blanket branding, it becomes easier to create counterfeit goods. And so when these companies are allowed to use things like logos and colors and whatnot, it makes it very easy or much easier to tell the difference between a legal product and an illegal product. And the Liberals have touted that much of the purpose of this is to curb the black market, and while at the same time they're enacting policies that we know make it easier for the black market to pass off their goods as legitimate. And so it's definitely a misguided approach, and certainly not evidence-based.
do we actually have evidence backing up the claim that you're making there that we've seen in other jurisdictions where the black market has actually taken advantage of these guidelines? Or is that just at this point more of a speculation or potential concern?
It's funny you mention that. So plain packaging of tobacco is on its five-year anniversary in Australia, and that's for the most part exactly what we've seen. We've seen black market actors or contraband actors, however you want to describe them, essentially use that mandated packaging as cover to sell what would otherwise be illegal goods and pass them off as legitimate. And so I think it's safe to say that we could see comparable results here in terms of the move to limit branding for legal cannabis. I think that it's certainly fair or safe to say that if trying to curb the black market is the goal, which it should be, limiting branding shouldn't be the solution.
Well, and especially when it's a government retailer, and I'm imagining just this dystopia view here where I walk into the LCBO, and you know the LCBO, I have my issues with it, but there's lots of stuff to look at there. I mean, you've got the bottles that are in weird shapes, you've got the really impressive packages and labels, and all of a sudden everything has to be in just one, you know, cylindrical glass container with no logo, no colors, nothing like that. And it's not far off, especially if we're talking about a legalized vice, that they would extend this from tobacco to marijuana to alcohol and then, you know, a hop, skip and a jump away to junk food. And I know you've done a lot of work on that before and we've talked about it on the show, but it's really not that far off if their goal is that you have to have branding free from anything they deem to be potentially harmful.
Exactly. And the Liberal government has, at various points, so the former health minister was always quick to point out that in terms of the negative health repercussions from cannabis use, yes, there are dangers. But en masse, it is considerably less harmful than alcohol consumption. And so that begs the question, why on earth are we going down this route of heavy restrictions, branding bans, personal limit, personal use limitations, all of these other added steps that we don't have for alcohol? I think when we frame it that way, a lot of people kind of scratch their head and they're like, oh, well, actually, I wouldn't want my alcohol plain packaged. I wouldn't want all of these crazy restrictions for alcohol. I think we do a fairly decent job of trying to curb abuse while also letting adults be adults. And so my question would be, why don't we do that with cannabis as well?
Now, is plain packaging something that will be decided solely at the federal level, or is it something that conceivably, just as the retail system varies from province to province, that we could actually see varying from Ontario to Manitoba to BC to Alberta?
So based on my understanding, the packaging mandate and branding mandate will be passed down from the federal government, just like the licensing and production process will still remain in the federal jurisdiction. So there is still very much this, they want to control essentially from seed to sale as much as they can. And my concern is that it's obviously not going to make the market very conducive for consumers and information, like I mentioned before, but the more hurdles and the more roadblocks we put into legally accessing this, the more likely people are to go elsewhere and purchase from people who are still engaging in that illegal activity.
When push comes to shove, is packaging going to have much of an impact on black market legalized when there's already a price differential, which I feel would probably be more likely to encourage people to go to the black market anyway? And is this just kind of an issue that's really peripheral from the broader problems with the frameworks?
That's a good question. I do think that how legal cannabis is taxed and priced is really going to be the deciding factor. That being said, if those prices get close to each other, then it really does matter in terms of branding and in terms of marketing, because that's when that's when it becomes unclear in terms of what you're purchasing, whether or not it's a legal product or an illegal product. But you have highlighted something that's important there, and that it really, for the most part, at first will come down to price. And then all of the other factors will come into play, like accessibility, variety of product, and things like that.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's especially the case in Ontario, where they've picked what is conceivably the strictest possible way to sell it. I mean, maybe Quebec, you could say, is a little bit stricter, the strictest possible way to sell it. And the ultimate irony is that a lot of people will just avoid it altogether because they've bureaucratized something that is being legalized because it's already widely accessible, it's already common, it's already something that people have access to in a way. And the packaging is just adding one further layer to complicate something that I think a lot of people, I think you and I both know this, a lot of people are already going towards outside of the government model and will probably continue with that, at least to some extent.
Yeah, exactly. The federal government needs to realize that obviously they have to ensure safety. Obviously they have to ensure product quality, and they make sure that there isn't fraud in the industry or companies advertising aspects of their products that don't actually exist and things like that. That's certainly the proper role of government here. But the more they move beyond that, the more likely people are to just phone up whoever they've been using purchasing from for the past X amount of years, rather than actually make the switch over to the legal market. And so they really need to embrace the fact that it is accessible now. We're legalizing because it is accessible now, and people are buying from the black market. And in the most kind of blunt terms possible, the legal market has to outcompete with the black market. And my worry is that when we add in all these restrictions, whether or not that's going to be a success becomes a little less clear every day.
Yeah, and if you are a black market drug dealer, make sure you use neutral packaging, because if they aren't going to go after you for selling the drugs illicitly, they are going to go after you for the packaging laws.
There you go.
David Clement joining us on the line, North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. It's good to talk to you, David. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It is absolutely my pleasure. When we come back in a couple of moments, more of the Andrew Lawton Show here on Global News Radio 980 CFPL.